Hello, everybody. Hello, and welcome to We Seen It. Yes, it's a weekly podcast that focuses on movies, TV, and entertainment in between. I am one of your hosts, Pat.
And this is Kev.
And how is everybody doing today? Thank you. Far too kind. What's going on, Kevin? How you doing, bro?
Good, man. I'm excited because after the podcast, we're going to go check out Dune 2.
Yep.
Excited about that.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I've been looking forward to this movie for 2 years. I think the Dune movie came out in 2021. It was like one of the first movies that we were able to see, you know, after the pandemic. So this is like a it's like a button.
Yeah.
It's like a button on this thing.
And I don't know if this was just marketing dollars or what, but a lot of people have been giving their reviews and saying that the movie was really good. It was like a huge improvement from the first film. The first film, even though it got mostly good reviews, I think some people did agree that it was a little too slow paced and it wasn't as epic as people were expecting. But supposedly this one really is taking it to that level. So
I don't know, man. I think I saw that movie twice and the first one was still good to me, man. I really did like the uses of the shield. I'm not really sure. I never read the books or anything like that, but I like I really loved that moment where they were dropping bombs onto the actual building and you saw it like trying to penetrate the shield and it was just moving slowly and slowly towards the target. I was like, damn, this is fucking dope. Yeah.
I'm excited to see also the all the new actors that are going to be in the movie, like Christopher Walken, Florence Pugh, which I know Pat's not really that excited about.
It's just her crying face. Just
hopefully she doesn't cry in this movie.
She's definitely going to cry in this movie. That's her thing.
Then you have the new dude, last name Butler. He's going to be playing who Sting played in the 1980s version. He's just like that vicious, aggressive villain that you see. He's like the wild card villain that you see in pretty much every movie, no matter what genre it is. So excited to see how that's going to be. It also his character almost looks like the guys from Prometheus, the big, tall, bald headed.
Oh yeah,
like
wearing all
pale as white skin.
The creators, I think that's what they're called in Prometheus.
But yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about Austin Butler.
Austin Butler, yeah, the guy that played Elvis.
Who, to me, in every movie he's in now, I'm thinking that he's Elvis. Every time, it's like, I guess. Yeah,
he's coming out in a biker movie that kind of is like reminiscent of that.
He's on a show that's on Apple TV, him and the guy who is, him and the guy who plays the Joker in the Batman movie. In the Batman with oh my God, what's this guy's name from Twilight? I shouldn't even be saying from Twilight, from the A24 movie.
Robert Pattinson.
They're in a TV show that's on Apple TV, and it's supposed to be based on people flying planes back in I think World War II or World War I. And I saw the first episode and I was like, I just see Elvis. But I think he got some residual Elvis-ness from him. That's from him trying to be a character actor, I guess. And hey, man, hopefully he works the Elvis out of him. But I always see this guy as Elvis. He did a pretty good job as Elvis. I do say so myself. But yeah, man, Elvis and Dune. Come here, mama.
Yesterday there was a Comic-Con that took place here in South Florida, the Sunrise Comic-Con. It's been going on 4 years in a row now. It was actually our first time checking it out. Pat, what'd you think of it?
I thought it was pretty cool. It was pretty quaint. It's a nice con if you ever decide to go to one, like to your very first one, and you don't want to get like you don't want to have too much on your plate. It's perfect. The talent that was there was amazing. We saw Aaron Reyes was there.
Ernie Reyes
was there. My bad, man. He was there. he was talking about his time in Hollywood and how he is how he's got to where he is right now, which was very interesting. The movies that he's played in, I totally forgot that he was in The Rundown and he played, you know, it was a small part, but man, was it amazing. Because he whooped the shit out of The Rock. And I didn't know that movie did bad, to be honest. I thought that movie was great.
Yeah, I thought I could have sworn, I don't know if we, like, Mandela affected ourselves. Like, I could have sworn that movie came out and was, like, a box office hit.
Yeah.
And people were looking at The Rock differently, like, oh, shit, yeah, he could be an actor.
Yeah. But, oh. Because I remember, I think that was the first movie that, like, I remember The Rock being in, and I was like, holy shit, he just might be good. Because I know he was in The Mummy 2, Scorpion King and stuff like that, but nah, Rundown was it. That was the best one. I mean, there's still lines from that movie that people still shout out now. That Thunder and Lightning that was done by the guy who played Stifler in American Pie. And yeah, man, Aaron Reyes?
Ernie.
There we go again. Ernie Reyes, yeah, he did an amazing job in that. And, yo, I mean, TMNT Part 2. Dude, he stole the movie. He was what some people might say, he was the relatable character. He's the
out of the few roles that he's done, which one stood out to you the most?
Oh, when he played the prince in Conan.
Yeah.
That one stood out to me the most. Because that motherfucker was kicking ass. And on top of that, he had a bodyguard with him who had a fucking mallet with a rock at the end of it, man. I love that shit. As a little kid, I was like, yeah, bro. But yeah, what about you?
For me, it was The Last Dragon. He was a child in The Last Dragon. He was a kid in The Last Dragon.
And oh yeah, end of the fucking movie, yeah,
when
man.
When we got to the panel, that was the first thing he was talking about. Yeah. He was like, "Yeah, we shot the nightclub scene with Vanity and all that," and then he was saying that I think they like switched it up last minute on them, even though they had been practicing that whole scene for like years or whatever. But what I loved about that fight scene at the end of the movie is that he's popping and locking as he's fighting. So he did like some kung fu moves. Yeah, and then dude, there was one part where he was like standing in between this guy that is laying on the floor. He just finished like kicking his ass, but he's standing between the guy's legs. And then he just like starts popping. And then he does this thing with his feet that like hits the guy in the balls, and he's like, "Oh shit,
man!"
And,
damn, that's a good one, man. Oh my god, bro!
Yeah, because people also forget that not only is he a martial artist, he's a breakdancer too. He could breakdance.
That should have been the question that would have asked. Can you still pop and lock? Can you still break? I mean, the only question that was asked was pretty good, but it would have been pretty awesome for it to have some fun. But yeah, man, he was there. What else was there? The food truck was amazing.
Oh, yeah. I think Sunrise Comic Con was a testament that you guys got to bring food trucks to the events, because a lot of these conventions will provide like the convention food, which is never good.
Yeah.
These guys brought out food trucks, which it gives the customers like a chance to pick what they want, and it's all radically different food. There was one truck that was like Colombian food. There was one that was barbecue. There was like some healthy options, frozen lemonade. We had barbecue, and that was honestly solid.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god, this is the best shit. It was they ran out of fucking French fries, but the alternative was mac and cheese, which was more expensive, but they gave it to us at the French fry price. So, who's winning in this situation? It was us. It was us. It was the best thing. It was the best thing.
Yeah. But overall, I think, like what Pat was saying, it was a fun event. Definitely, if you haven't gone to like the bigger cons like SuperCon or MegaCon, Sunrise Comic Con is like a good, I think, like mid-level, not as big as the major cons, but not as small as like the more newer cons. Yeah. It was definitely right in the middle. And if you have kids, definitely a good event to get their feet wet into that whole world. So yeah.
Yeah. Because you can spot them. You can basically spend a straight up afternoon just going to all the functions that they have there, and then you just call it a night. You don't have, it's not like a, you know, like SuperCon or MegaCon where you need the 2 days or you need the 3 days in order to see all these different events. Yeah, Sunrise Con was just like a one and done. You go there, you walk the room, and you can, if you didn't plan on like buying anything or just seeing anything, you could walk the whole floor in about like what you think like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, for sure.
You could definitely do that.
And shout out to Nerds Know for hosting a fun panel, which was basically a legal way of playing craps.
Yeah, it was the best way of playing craps. All those people who are playing, they now know how to play craps. Like, subtly, they know how to play craps. Shout-outs to Geeky Robot that was out there. Got some swag from them because I won the... Nope, I didn't win. Let me take that back. I got second place in the crafts game, which was... it was a perfect win, though, for me.
I thought we were just calling it the craps game, even though it wasn't called that, but it was simply they were playing craps.
It was. Yeah. I beat Josh though. I beat Dr. X though, which I'm really happy about because I wasn't even trying.
next up, we have Liam Neeson. I actually learned this from Pat yesterday. I didn't even know this. Liam Neeson is slated to play the main character in the Naked Gun reboot.
Yeah.
For those Generation Z, whenever you have a chance, check out the Naked Gun. Probably one of the funniest police comedies. Would you put that above Police Academy?
Yes, yeah. I would. Laughs. I can't even say laugh per capita. I will put Naked Gun above mostly all of them. Like, there's so much funny. Like, if you rewatch it, you're gonna see funnies that you already missed, guaranteed.
Now, of course, when Pat told me that Liam Neeson was going to play the character of Frank Drebin, I didn't believe it. But now that I'm looking at who's directing it, it makes perfect sense. Well, not who's directing it, but who's producing it, Seth MacFarlane. Which Seth MacFarlane has a thing for Liam Neeson because he always puts Liam Neeson in his other movies. Like, he did a cameo in Ted.
Yeah.
Or Ted 2. I think he also had a cameo in some other stuff that Seth MacFarlane has produced. But I think he has a tendency of making fun of Liam Neeson being that overly serious character in almost all his movies. I have a feeling that that's the direction they're going to take the movie in, where it's like, it's supposed to like feel like Taken, but it's just going to be comedy and blunder like all around him. That's what I'm predicting. I could be completely wrong. Maybe we actually are going to see Liam Neeson playing that like oblivious character who is trying to solve the case but doesn't realize he's the one fucking it up the whole time or something. I don't know.
But it's going to be directed by Akiva Shaffir from Lonely Island Boys, who has written, directed, and produced in the past. He's written Pop Star, Never Stopping, which is a pretty fucking hilarious movie. I'm not sure if you ever seen that. It's about a hip-hop star. Yeah. It has Andy Samberg in it. That movie came as a surprise to me how funny it was. I think I saw that back in the... What was it like the Netflix movie? What was that called? Movie Past Days. I watched that movie and I was like, oh, you know what? This is not that bad. But yeah, he's going to be directing it. And on top of that, he also, did he do a voice in Chip and Dale Rescue Ranger?
I know Andy Samberg did.
Oh, okay. I think he directed it then. But yeah, which is crazy. So I don't look forward to it, but my hopes are not high for this new Naked Gun.
Now, one famous character in the Naked Gun movies was played by O.J. Simpson. If you had to recast that, who would you pick?
Oh, my God. If I had to recast to play... Oh, you know what? I'm going to say Terry Crews.
Terry Crews?
I'm going to have to say Terry Crews. Why I say that is because if you've ever seen Brooklyn Nine-Nine... and you've seen Terry Crews in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, his character alone is fucking hilarious. You know, and it's Terry Crews. He's like a strong man who can do, who can pop and lock and stuff like that. It's hilarious. Who would you cast?
Hannibal Buress. I think just his style of talking and his voice is so different from Liam Neeson. It's like too contrasting. Because Liam Neeson is so dramatic, and then Hannibal Buress is just so chill.
And yeah, man. His Hannibal Buress sounds like he sounds like how I think. I'm about to say something real insensitive. What's that dude who is Christopher Walken's in the wheelchair? Like how his robot voice just sounds, because he always seemed like he's relaxed.
Wait, what?
Is it Christopher Walken? Who's the guy in the wheelchair who passed away? The brilliant
guy. Oh, I was like, Christopher Walken's alive. Like, what?
Not Christopher Walken. Something Walken. Hawking's.
Stephen Hawking.
Stephen Hawking's. He sounds like if you put Hannibal Buress' voice on Stephen Hawking's chair, I think you have a perfect combo. Because it seemed like he just relaxed. He's not even wheelchair bound. It's like he just relaxed. Because Hannibal Buress always has a yeah, man, you know, I'm just hanging out, yeah. Even when he told that fucking that Bill Cosby joke, I thought he was just riffing off the crowd. I didn't know that was an actual bit that he tells all the time. I was like, oh shit. I thought he was just riffing with the crowd, but nah, this is a, because he said that he's told that joke numerous times, but that one time when I think he told it in Chicago, that's when, you know, the world was like, wait a minute, Bill Cosby is a fucking a creep, and you know, I'm not saying that that was the downfall of Bill Cosby, but I'm just, you know, it was a tip of that iceberg, which we know that is Bill Cosby.
And like I, the first thing that comes to mind for me is in the Nice Guys, there's a scene where Ryan Gosling is like falling asleep at the wheel, mm-hmm. and Hannibal Buress does the voice of the bee in the back seat. Just him talking to the two other guys, like I'm like, yeah, I could totally see that. Like if he was with Liam Neeson, 100%, I think I could see that.
Dude, that scene came as a surprise in that fucking movie. He says, You don't need to hold the steering wheel. I said, what? Yeah, it drives itself. It's a mode that's on the car. That's pretty good.
I saw that movie not too long ago, like a couple weeks ago. I don't know why. I just felt like watching it. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be one of those like perfect comedies that's just going to stand the test of time.
Oh, yeah.
Like it won't age or anything. It's perfect.
Yeah. Do you think that who would you get in instead of Liam Neeson to play in Naked Gun?
If I wanted to go with that Leslie Nielsen style of comedy,
yeah.
Shit. I think maybe what's the not Will Ferrell, but the other guy that was in Step Brothers.
Oh, snap.
John C. Reilly,
yeah.
I think I would go with him.
Yeah.
If I wanted to do that Leslie Nielsen style of comedy. Because I feel like he can play a character who wants to be sincere, but it's just everything is just not going the way, you know.
If you wanted a movie to fail, who would you get to play? If you wanted it to fail, who would you get? Who is somebody who's so serious that you, but it's like, I need you to like break. I need you to be funny in this. That you've never seen him do a comedy or anything like that. Because you know who I'm thinking? Denzel Washington. I've never seen him do funny before. I've only seen him tell jokes and be funny on interviews, but I've never seen him do like a funny movie before.
Shit, you're right.
It's like that dude is always serious, bro. Always serious.
Fuck, I mean, if you want to go all the way to the top, Daniel Day-Lewis is that guy. He's trying to go for Oscars. Oh, yeah, that's right. He retired.
He retired.
Shit.
I think he retired way too young. But I mean, he puts his all into his movie. He's a method actor. I haven't seen. I don't know what he's doing now. Probably golfing or something.
Maybe
shit like
maybe
that.
Him retiring was part of the method. He's just fooling everybody.
What a fucking yo! If he does something like that, man, I will never respect that motherfucker again. But oh, I was thinking Jeff Daniels.
But he did Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah. No. As somebody who I replaced Liam Neeson with, because I think he can. I know he can. He can pull off the funny.
I could totally see that. Yeah. Oh, if you want this movie to fail, that Rami Malek, the one that just always looks creepy as shit, and to try to get him to be funny.
It wouldn't be funny at all. It would be fucking creepy as fuck. It's just like that line that I was that I said last week that I saw online was, "I hope this letter finds you before I do." Like if you hear him say something like that, it wouldn't be a joke. It'd be like,
"Rami Malek is a human ransom note."
Yeah, exactly.
He's a human ransom note.
That dude is something, man. He is fucking terrifying. I know he's not trying to be, but, bro.
Is he, though?
I think he's just awkward around people.
Bro, that last movie, not the last movie, but the movie that he did during the pandemic with Jared Leto and was it Denzel Washington?
Yeah, Denzel Washington. Yeah.
Yo, he's supposed to play a cop with kids, married. Yo, the scenes that he has with his daughters, with his kids, is so awkward. Like it was like a serial killer, totally like pedophile vibe that he gave.
I totally forgot that he was supposed to play a cop with kids. I thought like he was regular a serial
dad.
Killer.
Nah, he was a regular dad. Even the scenes that he's supposed to be like being a dad to his kids, not believable at all.
He is an alien who is trying to fake that he's a human being. That's what he's doing. He's not a real person. He's the type of guy to fucking, like, if you walk into his house and you turn on the lights, he'll be right there, no lights on his couch, just waiting for you, like, oh, you finally showed up. So you're just sitting here on your couch, just waiting for me to enter in your room? That's crazy. No lights? And he's like, yeah, I do this all the time. Now like, he just sits in quiet rooms. No lights.
One thing that this movie needs to do, and if they don't do it, I'm going to be very upset. Leslie Nielsen would be in the car, and the background was obviously fake. Like, it was obviously a movie screen with, like, the city passing by really fast. They need to do that with Liam Neeson. Oh. Him being dramatic Liam Neeson, and then everything else looks like a low-budget, like, shit. If they don't do that, they messed up.
What the hell happened to Liam Neeson, man? He used to be funny, man. He used to be fun. This is why I was telling you about Darkman. In Darkman, Darkman was fun. Was it not fun?
I don't remember anything fun from that movie.
There was a scene in Darkman that...
You just told me one of the most horrifying scenes right when we were setting up.
Okay. It's horrifying, right? But you got to watch it. You have to see it and realize that it's not horrifying. It's fucking hilarious.
I felt like he was an anti-hero with like... aggression, like he was just super aggressive in that movie.
Apparently, what happened was that Sam Raimi wanted to do a Phantom movie, but Hollywood wouldn't let him, so he made his own, and it worked. It was a Phantom. It's a mix between the Phantom and the Phantom of the Opera and. There's another superhero. You know the guy who wears all purple?
The Phantom.
Yeah, both of those motherfuckers. Let me see if I can find this. Dark Man.
And they did a sequel to it too, right? There was a Dark Man too.
They did three sequels to that movie.
And it was all Liam Neeson?
Nah, I don't think so. I remember watching the first one, and I think I watched them all. But the third one has the best title by far. And the tagline is, "Dark Man, Die, Dark Man, Die." It's a good one. It's a good one. Here it is right here. This is the scene.
The pink elephant.
I'm sorry, buddy. It don't count unless you're behind the line.
What? I was behind the line.
Not hard.
I was standing right here with my girlfriend. Now, the pink elephant, if you please.
No way.
It doesn't matter, Pink.
It matters. I won a pink elephant for my girlfriend.
Why don't you just get lost, Hal?
Elephant. Quickly.
Didn't you hear me? Weirdo.
As a little kid, this terrified the shit out of me.
Dude, that is straight up horror. There's nothing heroic.
I see nothing but heroic. He. There was some wrong that was being done. He did the carnival game. He won the carnival game, but the guy didn't want to give him the pink elephant.
He was in behind the line. It was cheating.
How do we know? I think he was lying. I think he was behind the line. Liam Neeson, man. It's you guys, when you watch this scene, you're going to realize that, don't show it to little kids first and foremost because they don't understand it. But as an adult, you see the funny in it. You play by the rules, and next thing you know, what happened? They don't want to give you your prize. So you take justice into your own hand. You become Dark Man. When's the last time you saw this movie?
Oh, dude, I was probably like 9 or 10. I just remember the bandages.
He didn't have any lips. It was all teeth.
Yeah, I honestly don't remember. I got to watch that movie again. But, man, those Sam Raimi shots. Sam Raimi, dude, is definitely one of those directors. When you see the shots, you're like, oh, I know exactly which director that is.
I was thinking, like, did he do anything like that in Spider-Man?
Yeah, he did. He definitely did it in the second one. In the second one, when it's like the birth of Dr. Octopus, and you see the surgeons, and they're trying to remove the tentacles, and they can't, mm-hmm. and the tentacles come to life. You see like the zoom-ins of the nurses like screaming as they're being slaughtered by the tentacles and shit.
I think in the first movie, he only did it in when Spider-Man was fighting Macho Man.
He also does it when Goblin enters the parade, and there's like all the explosions and shit. You see Kirsten Dunst, like there's like a zoom in with the camera on her, like going like this, like shocked, and mm-hmm. then it does it again, like it keeps getting closer to her, like every time there's like an explosion.
Yeah. And some people don't like it. I know that when Doctor Strange came out, people didn't like the Sam Raimi-ness. When she was chasing Doctor Strange and America Gonzalez, but to be honest, I loved that part. That was like the only part that I really liked about the movie. It felt like I was watching Evil Dead a little bit. You know, there's nothing better than like your heroine or your hero in all blood, and they're being chased or they're chasing somebody. I like it with the little limp. It's a dope fucking look. It's a dope look. Everybody, it's an iconic look that you see it all the time. But, you know, people just don't pay attention to it.
All right. Well, hopefully we get a trailer soon because this movie should be coming out next year, actually.
Yeah. Have you seen the shots of the crow?
Oof. Let's talk about that.
Have you seen it? There's a lot, a lot has been released, man. Like The Crow, and on top of that, Jared Leto's Tron.
Yeah.
That also came out. They gave a little teaser of Tron. But I don't know how good it's going to go because, you know, Jared Leto has been on a downward spiral ever since he won that Oscar. I don't think he's done a good movie since. I don't think he has.
Yeah, there's some truth to that. But yeah, so they released the first look of Bill Skarsgård as the new Crow. Now, keep in mind, this is not like a reiteration of the story. This is supposed to be like the modern day Brandon Lee version of the Crow. Like he's the character that Brandon Lee played. Because really? There's been different iterations and different different characters who played the Crow. This is supposed to be Brandon Lee. And the photo came out. A lot of people have been saying that it's reminiscent of Jared Leto's Joker. It's very reminiscent of, I guess, the look of what young people today look like. And what's funny is that the director for this movie even said, he was quoted as saying, like, yeah, we wanted the Crow. We wanted young people to watch the Crow and say, like, that they see themselves in the character. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, though.
So they want to see, they want them to see,
they like, want the Crow gamers.
They want to see gamers and people who do,
I guess, that the new alternative look, yeah. Because, like, even if you look at his hairstyle, like, that's a popular hairstyle that teenagers are doing nowadays.
On lesbians. Is it not? Dude, I have to admit, and every lesbian I see with this hairstyle, I'm like, dog, you're fucking killing it. They always look good with it.
I think it's everyone. Everyone's doing the...
The mullet?
The mullet, but, like, on the side, it's not faded. It's just, like, a straight line.
You talking about the Theo Vaughn.
The Theo Vaughn, yes. 100%. The Theo Vaughn look. It looks... I think it fucking looks horrible, but...
It's a 2024 mullet that, like, it's not even a party up front. It's a fade up front. It's a straight up fade, and then it's just nothing but hair on the back. I think Theo Vaughn called it like a raccoon or a skunk tail or something like that.
He kind of looks like that dude that is trying to sue Grand Theft Auto with the tattoos and stuff.
He's not trying to sue anymore.
Well, the one that's trying to be in the game, he looks very reminiscent to that guy. I don't know how I feel. I think I'm just going to go based off of whatever trailer ends up coming out.
All we got to do, that's the only thing we can really go off of. It's just the look of it. And when I saw the look, I'm willing to watch this movie. I really don't like the fact that they're going to play off of the whole Brandon Lee 1994 The Crow movie, but they have tried to reboot this movie or tell this story so many times between 1994 and now that just give us something. Because remember before we had Bill Skarsgård, we had fucking Jason Momoa who was supposed to be here.
Yeah.
And that motherfucker is big, bro. He's a fucking monster. Like, that dude is, like... That dude is a monster. And I remember when, like, he was on board, he was all for it. But I remember just seeing, like, damn, I never thought I'd see, like, a jacked up, Crow who's supposed to be a representative. But I said, I guess that Crow can basically control anybody. It doesn't matter who it is. So I was on board with that, and now they got this one. Have you ever seen the part two or part three of The Crow?
I saw part two. They picked, he's supposed to be like a Spanish character in the second one. Mm-hmm. I didn't go past that after that. It just kind of went downhill. They got Edward Furlong at one point. He just looked really bad. There was the TV show. One of the villains from John Wick was the one that played him in the TV show. But, you know, what I noticed is that Brandon Lee, when he played the Crow, I don't think anyone actually did look like that. So when they showed him in the black leather, the white makeup, it felt and looked cool, and we wanted to look like that.
Yeah.
This guy, it's like the opposite effect. It's not, no one wants to look like that.
Yeah.
So it's almost like I understand their intention of like, oh, we want the young people to watch this and say, oh, look, that's me in that character. But really what they should have done was, no, we're going to create a character that kids want to look like. And I think that was the difference. And I think that's the reason why, because this has been getting a lot of hate on the internet.
Has it?
Yeah, a lot of people have been criticizing it on TikTok, Instagram Reels. Snarky J recently, because she's a huge Crow fan, did a whole YouTube video of how horrible it looks. But at the same time, Bill Skarsgård is a very good actor. So I am still curious to see.
Are you going to see that other the new movie he's got coming out this month, where he plays a deaf and mute?
I haven't even seen the trailer for that. I
forgot the name of it. No, continue with your
deaf and mute. Wow. Yeah. Brandon Lee wasn't known for his acting skills, but he did have acting experience and he had martial arts experience, which helped him with the character. Mm-hmm. Bill Skarsgård has the acting experience. We just got to see if they're going to go for like a martial arts angle, or he's just going to be an action hero. Like, it's just going to be explosions and him shooting guns, or maybe he is going to train. I don't know.
Based on that that Boy Kills World, that's the name of the movie that I was talking about. It's supposed to release like last year, but it's coming out April 26th. Based off of that alone, I think he's going to start. He's going to kick ass. Because Brandon Lee wasn't even kicking ass in that movie. He was shooting it up. Yeah, he was getting shot. He wasn't really like doing any martial art moves or anything. He was just like, he was just shooting motherfuckers. Like, we didn't see remnants of Bruce Lee at all movie. It was just him like taking shots. And I have to admit, like, I don't know how many times I must have saw that movie, but that scene when he's in the boardroom and he's just shooting up people, and they're shooting at him, and he does a backflip on a table. And one of the weirdest scenes is that he was shooting up towards the sky, but there was nobody up there. But it looked cool, though. It did. Like he did backflips on the table and shit like that, and he was shooting up towards the sky. Then he'd shoot towards the side and stuff like that. I remember watching the trailer for that movie, being like, I need to see this movie. I really want to watch it. And when it came out, I watched it so many fucking times. Watched it in the theaters. Then I watched it on bootleg until the fucking tape broke. And then I watched it on Blockbuster. It was a good movie.
One piece of optimism that I have is that Bill Skarsgård has already proven himself to taking a character and making it his own with Pennywise.
Yeah,
Pennywise. I don't think he was trying to be better than the original Pennywise. He just like made his version of it and mm-hmm. like said, no, this is how I'm going to do it. And yeah, I'm going to make it memorable, which he did. I don't think either the Pennywise were better than the other. I think they were both terrifying in their own way. And he definitely made it his way.
Like that eye thing.
Yeah.
Nobody knew that he can do that. He spoke to the director. He says, oh yeah, I can do something with, I can make my eye drift. And the saliva dripping from his mouth, that was done practical. Like, he did that.
Yeah.
It's some nasty. He knows what he's doing.
So hopefully, you know, they're making him look like the youth of today, but just hopefully he doesn't act like the youth of today.
You don't want to be like this? Like, I'm going to kill you, but let me just do this TikTok real quick. What's up, America? Check this.
Like, I hope he doesn't, you know, say, like, oh, that's Cap.
Nah, I doubt it. Dude, that shit kind of hurt a little bit when I heard that. I was like, whoa. Nah, I don't think. They can't. They can't do that. If they want to lose an audience, if they want people to physically walk out of the theater, just do that. That's Cap. Oh, God.
Like, he comes out of the grave, like, dead ass.
It's gonna be a crazy night. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And on top of that, it was supposed to be released next year, but they changed. So now it's coming out in July. It's coming out this year.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
And what soundtrack do you think would fit with this new Crow?
What soundtrack will fit with this? I'm going to say The Prodigy. I'm trying to throw in The Prodigy and everything. Just put The Prodigy and I want Firestarter. If there's going to be a climactic scene of him, like, just like in The Crow, the first one, where him just shooting up people and just, like, running around, just killing people, I need The Prodigy Firestarter. Just because of the way that it starts. And I want, when it's starting, I want there to be, like, I get those guys from, I forgot the name of the AV Nation, where they always, like, remix, like, dope-ass songs, and they make it real cinematic. Like, get those guys to just, like, do something with that song and just have fun with it. What about you?
Probably, like, Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
Do Nine Inch Nails stuff.
Nine Inch Nails would definitely fit more. Me, I'm going for the fun. He's going for the real, like... You know, I used to cut myself when you hear that kind of stuff. People say that kind of stuff. Nine Inch Nails is, just their fucking music videos are disturbing. What's that one line that I remember? Is it like, fuck me like an animal?
Oh, I want to fuck you like an animal.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy to put that in a song, let alone to say that to somebody. Some people need it to be said to them, though. In a consensual way.
Yeah. His I'm looking at the photos of, like, his tattoos and all that shit. Mm-hmm. I think also what might fit just because of the imagery, like Tool, something like that psychedelic, you know, 8-minute long song.
You know, it pains me that you're right. That's the thing that sucks about it. I've asked people this all the time, like, yo, like, name me, like, a Tool song. Like, give me a Tool song that you really enjoy. And sometimes they do name it to me. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And I try to listen to it, and I'm like, nah. I've listened to Tool albums when I was working at FYE, and I tell you one thing, I can't describe you one track from another. Like, I can't tell you when one track ends and another one begins. Can't tell you. Oh, Andrew Koji is going to be in the movie, too. Is he going to play the bad guy?
Who's that?
Nope, never mind. Wrong movie. This is that Boy Kills World movie. You've seen Andrew Koji before.
How do you spell his last name?
Koji. This is an Asian dude. He was in Snake Eyes. But yeah, man, I'm really looking forward to it just so I can get, like, some new nostalgia, because it just seems like we've just been getting all the rehash of the same stuff. Let's get some new nostalgia out here. Let's see what happens. See what they do with it. See what Hollywood, how they're gonna butcher this thing. And if not, I mean, if they do a good job with it, congrats. If they don't, oof. I don't think it's going to be a hit on Skarsgård's career, Bill. He's done too much good stuff for him to be diminished by this. But, you know, there's that curse of the set, that documentary that we're talking about. Like, this set was cursed, and that's how Brandon Lee passed away. But I think it was like a conjunction of that and on top of that, the Lee curse kind of thing.
Yeah. All right, next up. You want to talk about Goldberg, or do you want to, or should we do movies that have gotten better with age?
Let's leave Goldberg out of here. Hey, man, congrats on 4 years being sober, dude. I commend him on that. But... to our lead topic, I recently saw Starship Troopers based off of the whole Helldivers thing. Not recently saw. I recently rewatched Starship Troopers, and I realized that, yo, that movie holds up so well. So I hit up the guys and said that, yo, we should do our lead topic should be, like, movies that held up well. And we have a couple of movies here.
But before we get into that, what makes you think the movie held up well? Like, why?
Why?
What did they do right that makes it hold up well?
I like to think that the topic of which they're, which either the main story is about or something that's subtly, like, distributed throughout the whole movie, I think it's general. It's something that can be, like, attached to many different topics or something that is just, like, relevant to us. Like, if it's about politics, it's always going to be relevant to us. Even though that it's, like, it's not affecting you now, it's going to affect you in the future, that you're going to be involved in a way of either you're going to be involved, like, by disassociating from it, or you'll be involved in that you're really going to be concerned about it and you really want to do something about it. So I do like the fact that when I was watching Starship Troopers, when I was a little kid watching it on pay-per-view many times in one day, I just watched it just for the action. And then as I grew up, I was watching it for the political satire, which I didn't know until, like, recently when people, you know, just playing Helldivers, that people were talking about, like, you know, this it's a Starship Troopers is a satirical masterpiece. And Ralph, who was on the podcast, he was talking about how the director of that movie, all his movies are just satirical masterpieces that should be studied in class, which I was like, oh, really? Because all the movies that he's done, RoboCop, I love it. Total Recall, love that fucking movie. Starship Troopers, fucking love that movie. And all those movies are, like, amazingly told, that if you're a child, you love the action, but once you grow up as an adult, you love it for its way to make you laugh at basically yourself in a first world country. It's a good movie. All those movies are real good movies. And all those movies are on the list. They're all really good. Like, they got better with time.
Yeah, I think as even, like, with in the middle of all that satire, like, I look at Total Recall and
that sounds like they're, like, right in this room.
Right there. even, like, in the middle of all that satire, the movie was deep, like, yeah. The whole thing with Mars and the Martians, but then amid all of that, the fact that they implanted all these, like, fake memories into Arnold Schwarzenegger, yeah. It seems like his movies seem like it's one way, but then as the story progresses, it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And I think that's probably, in my opinion, the reason why his movies do so well over time is that,
yeah.
It's not just this one simple thing. It's complex, and he's consistent with that complexity.
Yeah, he once I was reading somewhere that he once did an interview, and he said that I want to make a movie that people who get it have a tough time trying to explain it to people who don't, to the point that is driving them crazy. So which is funny in itself, is not that he wants to make the people who don't get it go crazy. He wants the people who got it go crazy. And I'm like, dude, this guy, he's really fucking good. And I'm surprised that he hasn't been on a lot of people's, like, well, you know, no, I'm not going to blame it on everybody else. He hasn't really been on my radar that much as a director that, you know, I should be looking into, see what other works he has tried to do, or anybody else who has tried to, like, emulate his success. But, yeah, man, he is amazing. And on top of that, like, that Total Recall with the new one, the reboot, was so trash.
And the RoboCop too. The RoboCop reboot was also trash.
It's also trash.
And even the main actor in RoboCop, they interviewed him, like, recently, and he was just like, "Yeah, I think the filmmakers just didn't get the point of the original one, and that's the reason why it just failed." Like, and he even said in the interview, like, the satire has a deeper meaning when you pay close attention to RoboCop.
Yeah,
and.
Dude, I know they had a Samuel Jackson in it, but I tell you, I swear to God, that I'll Buy That for a Dollar did not hit as hard as it did in the fucking original RoboCop. It did. It was just like, you're not doing it right. You're not the situations, the stakes are not as high as it was in the first movie. It's not as good.
So, but what are other movies that you feel because of their meaning or because of how they were shot, now you watch them and they're actually more enjoyable now?
Oof. I'm going to say I put a Dark City on the list.
Yeah.
I really do feel that Dark City over time has gotten to be a better movie than when it was released. I mean, it's a cult classic by, and it needs to be. Actually, it needed to be better than that. It needed to be a movie that was celebrated when it was released. But I remember watching this movie on DVD and just being like, just starstruck by how amazing this movie was. And I don't like the fact that it's being used for, like, you know, like red pill, blue pill kind of shit. I don't like that because, you know, no, actually it was being used before the Matrix was. Like, yeah. People would say that, oh, you're being, I don't know, you sleeping or something. I don't know. They used to say some stuff that used to mean that, oh, man, you know, the Illuminati kind of stuff. They used to allude to this movie, and now they're just using the Matrix in this place. But it's just one of those things, man. It's that movie, I haven't seen it in a long time, but I know that it meant more than what it was. It wasn't, I don't think it was satirical.
No, it wasn't satirical. It was actually like a futuristic take on film noir.
Yeah.
It definitely had like that old 1920s feel of like the old noir movies, but they just threw in aliens into the mix.
Yeah.
And basically showed everyone like, nah, you could still shoot, like you could still do the old school type of cinematography, but just add new elements to it and make it fresh.
Fucking amazing still.
Yeah. There's this beautiful shot because Popcorn Frights recently showed the movie at the Gateway Cinema and I went to go see it. Mm-hmm. There's this beautiful shot in the beginning of the movie, like right at the beginning, like when he wakes up in the bathtub and he doesn't know where he is. They used a light bulb and that's the only source of light. Like the whole room, it's pitch black and it's just the light bulb. The camera is hanging right above the light bulb, bird's eye view, and the light bulb is just like swinging. Mm-hmm. So like the whole room is pitch black and the only thing you see is whatever the light bulb is revealing. And it's just like this spotlight that's just moving. So it's like empty room, empty room, empty room. Oh wait, there's a guy in a bathtub, back to empty room, empty room. And it's just like you're sitting there watching the movie. You're like, what the fuck is this? Like, why is that?
Yeah.
And then you see like a dead body and then it's just whatever the light bulb is revealing is all you see from that bird's eye view. And it's such a beautiful shot, so simple. And I feel like a lot of the cinematography in that movie is just like that. You don't really see that nowadays in movies. I think everything is now digital and like brightly shot and brightly lit.
Yeah, it's like people don't want to take the time and be passionate about their film. Like they rather just, you know, do it digital because, not saying that it's the easier route to do, but it's like it's you can just sit in front of a computer and just get it done rather than, you know, like, I guess hiring more people to craft this masterpiece that could be your work of art kind of thing.
Also, I think for people that are into conspiracy theories, like, this is, like, their wet dream.
Oh, yeah. When they watch that movie, it's like, this is exactly what I've been trying to say. This is exactly what I'm trying to say. When you're sleeping, they go into your mind, and then they put in little memories and stuff. Like, there was that one scene where they turned the, like, a family of poor people into rich people.
Yeah.
And they turned the rich people into poor people. For what? It was a science. It was a science experiment.
It's just moving people around. Maybe that's what's creating Mandela effect. Maybe that's what started the whole Mandela effect, is that they're just moving things around. So you're saying that
I should never sleep?
No. Well, oh, shit. Yeah.
I should never sleep? No, but it doesn't even seem like, even if you do sleep, like, they just, it's like you just shut off wherever
everybody
you are.
Everybody shuts off, yeah.
Yeah, everybody just shuts off. And I guess time stops and everything. I got to rewatch this movie because was he one of those people?
he was, and then he snapped out of it.
No, was he one of the aliens?
No.
How was he able to snap out of it? And he was able to control different things, like different aspects of them. See, I got to rewatch the movie.
Yeah, I got to rewatch it. I got to rewatch it. I forgot how he had the ability.
Because there was a private eye in the movie who was played by, I forgot the guy's name.
He's supposed to be the new, John Hurt, I think.
Yeah.
Or William Hurt. He recently passed away.
Did he really?
Yeah. Harrison Ford replaced him as the general in the new Marvel movie that's coming out, the Falcon or Captain America. He was the general in Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
General Ross. And Harrison Ford's going to play him instead.
Oh, nice. Yeah, he was supposed to be usually in the femme fatale, he's supposed to be the guy who you're supposed to, he gets all the answers and stuff like that. And it seems, I don't want to give away. I'm not going to give away the movie to the people who haven't seen it. Just watch the movie, and if you know anything about film noir, you know he's supposed to be the detective, who's supposed to look into all these different things. And he's trying to catch our lead, who is Rufus Sewell, John Murdoch. And every time he gets closer to him, he finds out some new things about this city, the Dark City. And it is amazing. It is an amazing watch. I'm still trying to remember, how did he ended up being, able to control stuff?
I think it was just a power that he ended up getting. But yeah, I don't remember. I gotta watch it again.
Yeah. Jennifer Connelly was in the movie. Yeah, she played the one of interest. She played the heroine. Yeah. It was good. God, it's an amazing movie. But what's another movie that you think that's gotten better over time, just by look wise or?
I recently watched V for Vendetta recently, and I think with the whole political climate.
Yeah.
The whole, this one guy ended up taking control over the politics and all of that, I think is reminiscent of what people talk about today regarding politics. The whole thing about, things being banned and certain ideologies being banned and all of that, and, history being askewed, I saw the movie again recently, and it definitely made me feel a different way when I saw it. And I think it was reminiscent of what a lot of people talk about today. So I know the movie was criticized when it first came out, because they felt that the director didn't get the point of what the comic book was really about. Also, I think they portrayed V to be this hero when really in the comic book he was a lot more vicious, a lot more questionable and all of that. But I don't know, I've always enjoyed the movie, but definitely when I watch the movie now, I feel like there is a different tone on how I accept the movie. I don't know, I'm trying to think of another one that definitely got better over age. I'm trying to think of really bad movies that I enjoyed watching as a kid that are just now more enjoyable, simply because I don't know, I feel like movies are less fun now.
Yeah. I mean, Fifth Element is always one of those that it's like a lot of people, nobody watched it when it came out in theaters, and then, it's as soon as it hit DVD, that's when it starts to get real popular. That's one of those movies that I really enjoyed. I haven't watched it in a long time, but I really enjoyed it. And I'm trying to think of another movie. Not The Matrix, but it was a movie that the Wachowskis made before The Matrix that had a...
Bound?
No, not that. What's that dude? Christian Bale in it.
No, they didn't do that one. You're talking about Equilibrium?
Equilibrium? Did they not?
No.
Well, that movie.
It actually came out after The Matrix.
It did?
Yeah. So a lot of people saw that movie and they were like, oh, even one of the reviews, I think one of the critics' reviews on the DVD cover said, if you liked The Matrix, you'll love Equilibrium.
Wow. Yeah, it came out 2002. I thought it came out before The Matrix. It came out after. Oh, my God. Yeah, this movie is it's a pretty good movie. Got better with age. But the thing is like, the only thing that I noticed is that I knew that, what's this guy's name? Oh, my God. Taye Diggs' character was emotional from jump for some reason. Like, when I rewatch, I'm like, oh, this dude, he's not doing those same pills that these motherfuckers are doing. Because this guy, he's showing some emotion.
Yeah.
He's showing some goddamn emotion. But Christian Bale, fucking stone cold, dude. You could not, you couldn't get no emotion out of this guy.
You think he got that role because of American Psycho?
Was this before American Psycho?
This was after American Psycho.
This was after?
Yeah, like, you think Hell he got yeah. that role because of how cold he was in American Psycho?
Hells yeah. Dude, like, this movie, the budget for this movie was $20 million. You know how much it brought in? $5 million. Yikes. It didn't do nothing.
That's so crazy.
It didn't do nothing.
But you know what, though? I shouldn't say it's so crazy because I didn't see it when it came out in theaters. I rented it when it came out on video.
Yeah, I didn't even know it. I didn't even know anything about the movie. When I found out, like, later on when it came out on DVD. Like, people were saying, I remember it was just, like, rumblings that you hear, like, people saying, like, yo, you got to watch this movie called Equilibrium, man. It's really, really good. It's really, really fucking good. You know, people start saying that, oh, yeah, that gun kata is real. Bitch, fuck out of here. Get out of here, man. But yeah, that's how they really shoot, man. They really shoot like that. Get out of here, yo. But that movie deserves the flowers. Get what it got. Now you can watch it on Pluto and Tubi for free. It's a good movie.
You also had Enemy of the State, Enemy Galaxy of the Quest.
State. Yeah, Enemy of the State and Galaxy Quest. Enemy of the State, the only reason I say that is because that movie feels like it can happen more now than it could, like, in the past. In the past, you know, people had cell phones and stuff like that, but not as intricate as we do now. And all the technology that we have, it seemed like if the government wanted to do something like this now, they wouldn't even have to, like, tap into our phones. All they have to do is just go to, like, AT&T or Verizon or something like that, just to tap into whatever we got. Just go into your computer and see what you're doing at all times, which is fucking brutal, and it's an invasive form of... my bad, I'm over here coughing up. It's really invasive, and I'm not a fan of it. But Enemy of the State is an amazing Will Smith movie. I think it's one of his best movies. And the only reason I say Galaxy Quest is because you got to watch it. I'm not going to talk about that movie at all. Just watch that movie. And if you've ever gone to a con before, you will see why this movie is so great. This movie came out in, I want to say, 2004, maybe?
You know, I never finished watching that movie. I think I saw, like, the first 15 minutes. Never finished it.
Galaxy Quest is like, oh, 1999 it came out. God damn, only 2004? This movie is an amazing movie. The stars that it had, Sigourney Weaver, Alan Rickman, R.I.P., Sam Rockwell, Tony Shalhoub, Justin Long, who I think Justin Long is going through, I think he's going through some allegations. I think he's going through some allegations. I don't know. I think so. I think Justin Long is going through some allegation. Rann Wilson was in the movie. It was, shit, even they had Tim Allen in the movie. It's a great movie. Everybody should give that movie a watch. You watch it on Pluto for free. Galaxy Quest. And they're supposed to be making a part two to this movie. I'm not really sure what it's going to be about. But, I mean, people who are... If you're into Star Trek, which mostly every time somebody says that they're into Star Trek, I tell them, I ask them if they've watched Galaxy Quest. And they say, yeah, they watched it. And they love it. So, yeah, it's a great movie. Should give that movie a watch. What else? else? What else is on the list? I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, so we're going to go watch Dune 2.
Hell yeah. So you want to just say what's your thoughts? What do you think you're going to get out of this Dune 2 watch today?
I think the shots are definitely going to be epic from what I've seen in the trailer. Hopefully the trailer's not everything that's going to be epic in the movie. I hope there's going to be more. But Denis Villeneuve, he's known for amazing cinematography in his movies. I know he chooses his DPs very, very carefully. And he even said recently in an interview, he's like, dialogue is not my thing. I'm more of a technical, like, landscape, like, visual. Like, I focus more on the visual than the dialogue. So, yeah, I think the whole thing with the sandworms is going to be fantastic, especially that battle scene. But what I'm hoping is to see better hand-to-hand combat. And because the hand-to-hand in the first one, I did not like at all. That scene at the end where he's trying to join the sand people and he has to fight that one guy, watch that scene again. Bro, it ends in 15 seconds. He just slides and goes, hoo, and then stabs the guy. And mind you, Jason Momoa described them as like, yo, they fight like demons. But I didn't see anything.
That's demonic. How demons fight, though.
Bro, the guy died in two, and he's supposed to be one of their best fighters, and he died like that.
But he died by the chosen one, though.
But the fight was not like, there was nothing at stake. It felt like it was just so easy for him.
But he's the chosen.
But that it's the end of the movie. Like, it should be like, oh my God, a fight to the death. Like, you don't know who's going to win. Yeah, in the original one, that's how he gets accepted into the tribe.
By killing,
like, one of their best fighters, yeah. That's when they're like, oh shit, like, this kid is,
you know, he's skilled. Yeah, it should have been. But I remember that fight. I thought it was, to be honest, here's my thoughts about that whole thing. I thought, what we saw, because remember we saw like a glimpse of the future, and it was supposed to be the fighter and the lead Talabeth. What's that motherfucker's name? Timothy Delafonte.
Timothy Chalamet.
That motherfucker, right? We saw that guy, and remember they were showing like the future, and it was him and the guy who he was fighting. That's supposed to be like. They're supposed to be cool with each other. Like, they're supposed to be, you know, like, they're talking and they're doing all of that stuff. And then I was like, oh, okay. And then you saw that he just killed this guy real quick. And I was like, wait, are they deviating from the actual story, like the book? Or are they deviating? I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
But to find out that, oh, no, yeah, he was supposed to kill this guy, it shocked the shit out of me. I thought we were going to get, like, a whole new telling of a different story, like, of the same story kind of thing. But if this is what's supposed to happen, and that's what happened in the first movie, yeah, man, damn.
And I want to see Christopher Walken talk like Christopher Walken.
You think he's going to talk like him?
No, but it'll be cool if he's like, oh, the sandworms.
Speaking of Christopher Walkings, can we, before we take off, I think this needs to be said. Can we talk about these fucking Super Bowl ads that we sat down and watched?
Oh, shit, yeah.
This shit needs to be fucking said. How fucking dare you disrespect us by showing us, to tell us to go to YouTube to watch the rest of the fucking commercials? I should slap you between your goddamn teeth. That shit was upsetting.
That was upsetting. Especially with the fact that, like, we want to talk about this on the podcast, yeah, and we couldn't because all we saw was a sample. You know what people were expecting.
Yeah.
And you just, like, tease it. Oh, my God. Yeah, that was really bad. That shit instead, the people that went all out was Temu.
Yeah. Temu got four ads on the Super Bowl. The same four ads. And you guys gave Deadpool, Godzilla versus Khan, all these other trailers, and all these other amazing ads, like 30 seconds to do what they wanted to do when they had like 2 minutes of, like, it was like a 2 or 3 minute Deadpool commercial that we could have saw in between of watching a shit football game that nobody gave a fuck about these two teams, by the way. Nobody who lives in Florida gave, I tell you, like, we didn't care at all. Nobody cared about the whole Taylor Swift. I commend you on only having her on the screen like two or three times in the beginning, in the first three quarters. But as soon as that fourth quarter hit, go to Taylor. I saw it. And, oh, my God, I just did not like the fact that every trailer was a teaser to go to YouTube to watch the actual full trailer length. I hated it. Just so you guys can fatten your fucking bellies. I fucking hated that shit. Change this shit for next year because that was embarrassing. It was embarrassing to watch. Fuck you. All right, and that's that's been our podcast. Let me play us out real quick. I wish I could play some fucking like something aggressive. But you know what? I'm just gonna play this. Play the same thing that we came in with. I can't believe the NFL did that, man. I don't know what intern or what person in the boardroom came up with that idea, but have that person leave, pack up their stuff into a fucking one of those boxes that you put like paper in for the printer. Have their stuff in that fucking box and just escort them out of the goddamn NFL facility building, because what was displayed was a fucking shit show. Everybody knows it. That's all I gotta say. What you gotta say, Kevin?
Nah, that's it. Just make sure to follow us. Check us out on Instagram, TikTok, Spotify, SoundCloud. Like and subscribe. YouTube. We need more love on YouTube. Yeah. We really need more love on YouTube. And that's pretty much it.
All right. I've been Pat.
And this is Kev.
We've been us and y'all been y'all. Hope everybody had a ball. Catch you next week. Peace. Watch some Dune and get that bucket.